First Peter chapter 5. I was kind of hoping there'd be more people here to hear this message. I mean, this is something that I'd want to preach to a lot of people because none of you suffer with this that I'm going to speak on today. None of you have pride. Amen. This is the most humble church I've ever been a part of. Amen. Huh? You heard it. You heard it, right? Two witnesses, we heard it. Carl, I just want to draw your attention to verse, the end of verse 5 is for you. God is opposed to the Carls. But gives grace. Oh, there are two of them here today. I'm sorry, not that Carl. Let me just erase this part right here and start over with this one. But I don't know how we got there. We're going to First Peter chapter 5, and really I was going to go all the way to verse 11, but there's no way that we're going to get through what we need to get through, so we're going to stop today at verse 7. So praise the Lord for that, and next week we'll be dealing with the devil and how to deal with him. And I know some people have different ways they deal with the devil, but we're going to see what the Bible says on how do we deal with the devil. Charles Spurgeon once had a lady in his church come up to him. You know, he was a great preacher, and he once had a lady come up and say, "Pastor, I am praying for you every day that God would keep you humble." And he looked at her and he said, "Well, do you pray this for yourself?" She says, "Oh no, I don't need it. I have no tendency to be prideful." Maybe some of you are thinking that this morning. He's preaching on what? Let's get this over with and get out of here. I have no problem with this. Oh, we all have a problem with this. Let me give you some ways that this is manifested in this. And Brian's under conviction already. He's out of here. But let me give you some ways. Pride got him out of here. What are some ways that pride manifests itself in our lives? Listen to this. See if you have any characteristics of it in your life. Do you have a problem with your anger? Are you quick to get mad and frustrated? That's pride. Do you have an inflated view of your importance, your gifts, your abilities? I'm reminding of the preacher's first sermon he ever preached. He got up into the pulpit. He had his Bible and he walks up to the pulpit like this. Gets in there and starts to preach, and as he preaches, he fumbles through his notes and he gets all nervous, and 10 minutes into it, he says, "Okay, let's pray," and he puts his head down and he walks out. And the older person in the church comes up to him and says this, "If you would have went up the way you went down, you would have went down the way you went up." Think about that for a moment. But somebody with pride has this inflated view of their importance and gifts and abilities. Someone with pride talks too much about themselves and what they do. Listen to this one. Someone with pride seeks independence from authority. They hate to have bosses. Hate it. I remember ministering in Argentina, and I would ask somebody, "So where do you work? What fabrica? What place do you work at?" And they would say, "No, we don't work at any fabrica. We work for ourselves." And then he would tell me this, "Jeremy, I'll just be honest with you. I can't stand having a boss. I need to be my own boss." Pride people hate authority. Proud people seek to control others. They see themselves as better than other people. They minimize their own sins and they maximize the sins of others. And so, when somebody else makes a mistake, "Ha ha, you see it, you made a mistake. Unbelievable." But when they point a mistake out at you, "Oh, that was just I mean, everyone does that. They minimize it. Listen to this one. They're defensive and they're blame shifting. Proud people get very defensive when you mention a fault in their lives. And they blame everybody. I'm hearing some amens in the back. And they blame everybody else for their problems. Everybody. Boy, we all have it, don't we? Andrew Murray said, pride is the root of every evil and sin in our lives. I mean, think about it. Why are we in the mess that we're in? Because of pride. Why are relationships so strained? Because of pride. Why do churches have problems? Because of pride. Why do pastors have problems? Because of pride. We all have it. We all fight it. And so how do we cultivate humility in our lives? That's the question. And here's the hard part. Some people who are very, very proud like to use these spiritual words to mask what really their hearts are doing. So you say to them, you know, you give them a compliment. Oh, that was a nice special. Oh, don't tell me that. I'm just a sinner. Saved by grace. I'm a horrible person. That's pride, by the way. Somebody comes up to you, and this happens to me all the time. Well, actually, it never happens to me, but I wish it would. You're a handsome person. Now, one amen, not even from my wife. But she's not even, yeah. And then somebody says, oh, you're good looking. And say, oh, no, I'm just the ugliest person in the world. That is pride. If you're good looking, praise God that you're good looking. If you're talented, praise God that you're talented. It's not something just to rip yourself apart. That is not humility. By the way, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Are you ready for this? Numbers 12:3. Anybody got that memorized? Numbers 12:3. Are you ready for this verse? It says this. Moses was one of the most humble people on the face of the earth. You know who wrote that? Moses did. I mean, there's a verse to describe yourself, huh? Put that in your prayer letters, you know? Here's the most humble pastor in the world, by Dr. Guido. You know what I mean? How can he write that and still be humble? You know why? If it's true, it's okay to say it. So false humility is just beating yourself up, or saying you're a nobody, or just trying to tear yourself down. That's not humility. We're going to see today what real humility looks like in our lives. We're going to see in verse 5 that real humility means that I am going to submit to my spiritual leaders in my life. We're going to see in verse 5 that there is nothing too little for us to do for one another. That's humility. We're going to see in verse 6 that we need to humble ourselves under the very mighty hand of God. That means when the twists and turns of our life, when God takes us places that we may not like or does things in our life that we may not like, we submit to that. That's humility. And then we're going to see in verse 7 that true humility, as we cultivate humility, is casting all our anxiety on Him. Humble people pray. Humble people pray a lot. Humble people realize just how weak they really are and depend upon God. Well, you guys are humble, so you don't need this message, right? Well, let's look at it. Let's look at it. Let's look at verse 5. Turn with me to verse 5, 1 Peter 5:5, and notice how he starts it off. He says, "You younger men." Wow, he's picking on younger folks. Isn't that great? And I just want to say this. In the Greek, that word men could mean also men and women. When you're in a Spanish crowd and you say, hermanos, you're not just talking to males. You're talking also to females. So here he's saying younger men. He's talking to males and females. And here's what he's saying. You younger men, you that are younger in the congregation. By the way, I praise God for the younger people in our congregation. They're a wonderful blessing by God's grace. But, let me tell you a little bit about younger people for a moment. Because I got 3 teenagers in my house. They know everything. Amen. They know better than God. They've got it all figured out. Their old 45-year-old father knows nothing. If they just knew how they really live now. I love coaching, but I'll tell you, coaching younger people, it is a challenge. Why? Because they know how to hold the glove. They know how to swing the bat. They know what they're doing. And I love their face when you tell them to do something different. They look at you like, You ever see this look? You guys have the look right now. Like, what are you going to tell me? Who are you to tell me what to do? Younger people are independent. Praise God for them. But they need to understand how to submit. And notice what he says here. You younger people in the congregation, likewise, don't miss that word, likewise, because just like we are to submit to the government, where we may not like all the times, and just like in the home, the wife is to submit to the husband, he's saying, likewise, be subject to your elders or your spiritual leaders in the church. What he's saying is that we can be independent, we can be rebellious, we can think we know it all. But we need to allow others to spiritually lead us. How about that for a message for young people? Allow those who God has put into your life to lead you spiritually. Are they perfect? No. Do they make mistakes? Yes. The only time you say no to them is when they're asking you to sin and do things that don't glorify God. But when they are, by God's grace, trying to do their best and lead you in a way that they feel God would want you to be led, the Bible says to submit to them. Put yourselves under them. Now, last week we picked on the leadership, and we talked how they're not supposed to do it and how they are supposed to do it. They're supposed to be loving leaders. But really what he's saying here is the independent mindset of the young people in the congregation. They need to cultivate humility and really follow their spiritual leaders. You know what that means? It means to receive counsel. Wow, that is hard. You ever hear about the pastor, the lawyer, and the doctor? They went hunting. You ever hear this one? And so the doctor, the pastor, and the lawyer, they all pull their guns out and boom, they see a deer and the deer goes down. The doctor runs up to it and says, who shot it? Who shot it? The doctor looks at the deer. It was the pastor. The lawyer says, how do you know it was the pastor? I will sue you. How do you know it's the pastor? He goes, I know because it went through one ear and out the other. Amen. How do you know you're a pastor? How do you know you're a parent? It goes through one ear and out the other. Amen. Receive counsel. I'll get a lot of amens from the younger people today. Receive counsel. Receive counsel. Cultivate that humility. Sit under the word. Be accountable. Trust they want the best for you. That is an attitude that God wants, especially in the congregation, especially nowadays in the things that we are facing with millennials. Do you know that millennials right now make up close to 80 million people in the United States? Do you know how many of them profess Jesus Christ? 15% of them. We are losing them. Because they're coming with this spirit of entitled, and they have this independent, and they don't want any authority. Like, who are you to tell me how to live my life? Peter says, younger people, understand something. Submit to your spiritual leadership. Understand they want the best for you. They may not be perfect people, but imperfect leaders, as we submit to them, we're teaching others to submit to our imperfect leadership as well. So the first sign of humility in our lives is to submit to those who are spiritually above us. Now that is hard. I've been there. I'm not the best example. I came out of a seminary with my head was like this big. You know, I shrunk a little bit since then. But you know what I mean? I graduated with honors. I had a Hakuna Matata. I mean, I graduated all those things. I mean, you guys have been there. And I walk into the church and I'm the assistant pastor. And I had the gall of a person who never pastored a church before to tell that pastor how to pastor his church. The gall. Submit yourselves to those who are spiritually above you. Notice the next thing here. Not only that, he tells us to all of you. Now he's going to pick on all of us in verse 5. Whether you're a leader, whether you're a layman, whether you're male, female, all of you, every one of you, every believer here, he's going to say, here's what you need to do. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. I like that word clothe because it speaks of putting on an apron. We have this beautiful apron from Argentina that when my wife and my daughter, they cook, they put on that beautiful Argentine apron. Why do they put an apron on? Why would you put an apron on? To keep your clothes from what? Getting messy. And so he's saying, now you need to clothe yourself. Put this apron on. Apron of what? An apron of humility. When you pick your clothes out to go to church, you pick out, you know, you want a nice shirt on, you want this on. When you go to play a game, you have this different clothing on. What we need is to clothe ourselves with humility. What does that mean? Well, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to show you. Philippians chapter 2. All of us, not just younger people, older people as well. And I think a lot of our younger people are the way they are because they see the bad example in the older people. Clothe yourselves with what? Humility. What does that mean? Philippians chapter 2 verse 3. This is a wonderful, wonderful illustration of what it is. Look at the first few words. Do nothing from what? Selfishness. Now, the world is going to tell you this. Do everything for yourself. You take care of yourself. You make sure that you're happy. As long as you're happy, everything else is fine. You be happy. You think of yourself. You be proud of yourself. What does the Bible say? Do nothing for self. Wow. Or empty conceit. Or trying to get people to think better of us. You know why social media is so dangerous? It's a highlight reel of our lives. Because we try to just make people think better of us. It is empty conceit. He says, do nothing that way. But with humility of mind. With not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Here's what it says to do. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Look at the next verse. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests. Stop there. It doesn't say don't ever look out for your personal interests. Not like, oh, I'm just going to come here and I'm not even going to get dressed. I'm going to do that. It says do not merely look out for that, but also for the interests of others. Here's the key. When we have humility with one another, we're going to make what's important to them important to us. Now that is hard. What's the key to being a godly, humble husband? It's making what is important to my wife important to me. What's the key of being a godly, humble father? It is making what is important to my children important to me. What's the key of being a godly, humble church member? It is making what is important to someone else important to you. Wow. Clothe yourselves with what? Going back to Peter. Clothe yourselves with humility. True gospel humility means I stop connecting every experience, every conversation with myself. I stop thinking of myself. It is freedom of self-forgetfulness. Wow. Pride. We're thinking of ourselves all day. We're thinking of what we want. We're like the two kids who fight over a piece of steak. You ever have that happen in your home? No, your kids are perfect. My kids are... They're fighting over a piece of steak, and they're, give me that one, give me that one, this one's bigger, this one's bigger. And so finally, one of the kids that is super spiritual said, now what would Jesus do? And the kid goes, that Jesus would take the smaller steak. He goes, great, you be Jesus. Amen. Do we consider what's important to somebody else important to us? He says, clothe yourself with humility. Have that attitude of mind. And in Philippians 2, we don't have time to look at the whole context there, but what did Jesus do? He left his glory, all of his glory, came down to this earth, took the form of a what? A slave. Died, not only died, but came obedient to the death of a cross. Why? For you and for me. That's humility. So the second thing he says here is, If we want to really cultivate humility in our lives, we need to have that attitude, clothe ourselves, get ready to consider others as more important than ourselves. Why is this important? Look at verse 5. For God, He's opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I love this. This is a present tense here. God continually stands against those who are proud, those who look out just for themselves, those who don't trust in Him, those who think they are better than other people. God stands against them. But guess what God does on the flip side? He gives energy, He gives grace, He gives enablement to those who are humble, to those who look out for other people's needs, for those who do trust in Him, for those who have a proper view of themselves. Study the Bible out. Study out what happened to people when pride got into their lives. Study what happened to Moses when God said, "Speak to the rock." And what did Moses do? Pound, pound, he hit the rock. What happened to Moses after that? He could not go into the promised land. Study King Uzziah. I love that one because, you know, he was a man of the dirt. He got his fingernails dirty. He was a very humble guy. And he comes out and becomes a king. And then pride comes into his heart. And he starts to rebuke those who are around him. And what happens to him? He dies a leper. God resists the proud. You know what God says to somebody who doesn't want to pray? Or says that they have it without Him, He says, "Okay, you do it. I'm not going to help you." But those who come to Him and consider others as better than themselves and their needs is more important, God gives that enablement of grace. He gives you the strength to say you blew it. He gives you the strength when you're struggling. He gives you the strength to not drift away from the church and His people. So He's saying here, cultivate that in your life. Cultivate, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another because God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, notice verse 6. This is probably the hardest thing of all of it here. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, if you ever study out that phrase, mighty hand, it speaks of God's mighty hand to discipline people and God's mighty hand to deliver them. And really what it's saying this is accept from God the twists and turns of life. Wow, we have a hard time doing that, don't we? Accept from God that He knows what He's doing. Accept from God when things don't go your way. When you think it should come this way and it turns out to be the other way. One of the best examples of this I've ever heard was when a pastor, he had twins and the one that was born healthy died. But the one that was born with Down syndrome lived. And he had a raise for 40 years. He raised this one with Down syndrome mad at God. He said, "God, why did you take away the healthy one and leave me with the one that was sick?" And finally, after 40 years of struggling with this, he finally said to God, "Thank you for giving me the one that was sick, Lord." And his life changed. Accept from God the twists and turns of life. This is not easy. He's saying, humble yourself under the very mighty hand of God. Accept it when you get a cold. You like colds? I don't. Accept it when you get a flat tire. You like flat tires? I don't. Accept it when your motor breaks down in the car. Accept it. I ain't got one amen on this side here. Accept that. Accept it when things don't go your way. God knows what He is doing. But pride will say, "What, God, I deserve better. Who are you to give me this? I am not going to accept this in your life." No. Twists and turns. True humility is humbling ourselves under the very mighty hand of God. And notice what it says in verse 6, that He may exalt you at the proper time. Now, I wish this would say in verse 6, that he may exalt you when you want him to exalt you. Wouldn't that be a great verse? You know what I mean? Because then you just say, you know what? I'm sick. I got a cold. Now don't worry. God will get rid of it in 3 days and I'll be healthy again. I wish it would be my timing. But guess what he says? It's not your timing. It's my timing. And I will exalt you in my time. Wow. I remember when Jim Elliot died. And a reporter came up to Elizabeth Elliot and said, I thought you were praying for your husband to be safe. And she says, I did pray for him to be safe. And now he is safe. Safe from the presence of sin. God exalted when? In his time. May not be the way we want it. But it will be in his time. It may not be in this life. But it will be in one time. So he's saying here, accept God's lot for your life here in verse 6. Humble yourselves under the very mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you at the proper time. You say, Jeremy, I need something practical. How do I accept God's lot for my life? Look at verse 7. It tells us. This is the participle here that goes with the verb. Humble yourselves in the mighty hand of God. How do you humble yourself? Casting all your what on him?
Anxiety.
Casting all the burdens that you have, all the discouragement, all the despair, all the disappointment, all the pain. I love that word cast. Take a guess. How many times it's in the Bible? Take a wild guess. How many times do you think it is?
Seven.
Okay, good. Brian needs glasses. Anyway, it's only twice. It's used when they're on the boat and they cast their nets to get the fish. But you know, there's an Old Testament example of this word that I love. It's when Hagar left her son, Ishmael, under a tree, abandoned him. That's the word. Abandon your cares on the Lord. Leave them there. Don't hold on to them. Don't grab them in your mind. Don't try to figure your way out. Let God take care of them. Abandon them. Put them in his hand. Say, Lord, this is yours. I may not understand what I'm going through, but this is yours. Lord, I am disappointed about this, but Lord, this is yours. Lord, I'm distressed about this, but Lord, this is yours. I abandon it into your hands. I may not have chosen it, but God, it is yours. I put it here. Proud people don't do that. Proud people, when they're in a pickle, guess what they do? They do everything they can to figure out how to get out of it. They start to put notes down. They start to write down their own plan. They start to call their friends. They start to ask for advice. They don't go to the throne of grace and ask God to help them. But you know what a humble person does? A humble person gets in a pickle. A humble person's in a mess. A humble person, something happens to them that they don't want. And the first thing they do is say, God, I give this to you. I am weak. I cannot. I don't have the ability. I can't figure it out, Lord. This is yours. That's humility. See, humility brings us to our knees. And brings us to our God. Humility says, Lord, I'm sick and I just leave it in your hands. Lord, the blood work didn't come back the way I wanted to, but God, it is your. Lord, I may have lost my job. I need you, Lord. Lord, my finances are. Lord, I come to you and I leave it in your hands. I can't figure it out, but I trust in you. And you know why we do that? The text tells us why we do that. That wonderful little phrase. Because he cares for you. I mean, think about that. The God of the universe has cares. And his cares are us. You say, how does he care? You know, we get all upset at God. We thought, why does he care? I can't feel. He doesn't really care. If he cared, things would be different in my life. No, he cares. You know how he cares? He sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins, to be buried, and he rose again. He cares. He loves us. And if he took care of our greatest need, which was salvation, because we are separated by our sin from him, he will take care of the other needs as well. You say, how? When? In his time. We just read it. In due time. In the proper time. But he does care for us. He cares about those hurts in your heart. He cares about those relationships that are fractured. He cares about the very little things in life. I love praying with my kids because they bring up the smallest little things to pray about. And you want to know something? It may be small to us, but it's big to them. You see, it doesn't say just cast the bad things in your life or some of the things. It says cast all your anxiety on him. And you see, a proud person holds on. And God says, okay, I won't help. But as soon as we say we're weak, he steps in his timing, and changes things in our lives. So you want to know if you're humble? Here's the question. How is your prayer life? If you spend 2 seconds before each meal, you've missed it. If you say a couple of prayers in your car on the way to work, Lord, help me to get there without a flat tire, you missed it. But if you are living in constant communion with him, you figured it out. That is humility. That is what God wants. So let's take the next moment with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, just before the Lord. Every one of us has burdens. Will you lay them at his feet? And just ask God to take it. For some of you, it may be the job situation. Others, it may be something in the home going on. Others, it may be a physical need. Will you cast all your anxiety on him right now? Let's take a moment in silence. Lord, it's evident in our hearts and our minds and our lives, the pride that we struggle with each day. We hang on to our cares. We try to figure out a way out when you're just waiting for us to pray because you care for us. So Lord, I pray that you help us as a church to cultivate humility. God will never conquer pride on this side of eternity. We will fight against it each day of our lives. But Lord, help us to remember the scriptures that we studied today so that we're able to cultivate more humility in our lives. Help us to remember to submit to those that you have put into our lives to be our spiritual leaders. Help us, Father, to clothe ourselves with humility, that nothing is too small for us to do for one another, but we would consider others' needs as more important than our own. Help us, Lord, to accept those things that you bring into our lives that we may not like, knowing that in due time you will exalt us. And Father, I pray that we would, every day of our lives, Remember verse 7. Casting all our anxiety on you, for you care for us. It is so easy for us to complain about the things in our lives to other people, to social media, whatever it may be. God, help us to bring our complaints to you, our anxieties to you, the load that we have on us to you, and continually do that. And then when we bring them to you, Father, I pray that you would help us to abandon them there and not to grab them back in our minds and grab them back in our lives and try to figure it out again on our own. But to come to you and really say to you, Lord, I am weak. You are strong. And I trust in you. I may not understand it. I may not like it, but I accept it because it comes from you. Help us to have the heart of Job. Naked we came from our mother's womb. Naked we shall leave. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.